You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me if you have your Bibles, and shame on you if you don't. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We started a series on Wednesday night on the subject of faith.
Yes.
Talked about how everybody had it and went through the scriptures concerning that. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have the same spirit of faith. According to it's written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. And of course, Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to every man to measure faith. And Peter said, he said to those that have obtained like precious faith. So we all have same kind of faith Peter had, like precious faith. Same spirit of faith Paul had. And the measure of faith. So we have it. That's not something we have to debate or look into. You know, do we have faith? Oh, we have faith. If we're Christians and believers in Jesus Christ, we have faith. And we don't come to church to find out if we believe. We come to church to find out what we believe.
Amen.
Now, you may not be using your believer, but you've got a believer in you can use. And it's, you know, nobody falls, nobody fails, nobody goes under for a lack of power, as it were. We've got power, we've got faith. It's just the decisions that we make that we've got to, you know, we've got to start making the right decisions and doing the right thing and using our faith. What the Bible says is my people perish for lack of knowledge. It doesn't say they perish for lack of power or a lack of faith in the sense that they have. You know, they may not be using their faith, but they have the potential to use their faith.
Amen.
And I think that's one thing we think about faith in a broad sense. In a lot of churches, when you think about faith, you think about, you know, believing in Jesus to go to heaven. And pretty much that's it. And whatever happens from here to there, from the point you believe on Jesus to go to heaven to the point you die and actually go there, that you really, you know, faith doesn't really do a whole lot other than just keeps you getting up each morning, keeps you going through the day. It really doesn't, it's not practical, it really doesn't do anything other than gives you a hope for heaven or some security for the future. But it doesn't really do a whole lot about problems in this life. In fact, in many churches, problems, they say, are come from God, that God does those things. And yet the Bible is very plain. Faith is not trusting that everything that happens is God, or that everything that happens is going to turn out okay, whether you do anything or not. Faith is specifically changing your life and acting in a manner that's pleasing to God on the basis of His Word. It's looking at situations and then looking at the Word and trusting what the Word says instead of what the situation says, and lining your life up with the Word instead of what the situation says. Yes, it entails heaven. Yes, it entails the future. But faith is practical. Faith is pragmatic, as it were. Faith is something we do every day. We should use every day. We should pray in faith over our families and businesses and bodies and so on and so forth. And there are going to be results from that. Biblically, when the Bible talks about people who believe God, it talks about things that they receive because they believed.
Yes.
Long-term and short-term. So faith wasn't getting up in the morning and saying, well, everything that happens to me today is God, and I just trust that no matter what I do or don't do, it's going to be okay. Well, no. The men and women of faith did certain things that God told them to do, and if they did not do those things, it would not have been okay. In fact, that was faith. Faith was acting on what God said to achieve a certain outcome. It was not accepting everything that happened, no matter what you did or didn't do, and it was going to be okay. It was actually doing something specifically that God said to do to achieve an outcome, as opposed to doing nothing or doing something else. Does that make sense? So even here in Hebrews 11, which we often call and refer to as the Faith Hall of Fame, it's a list of men and women who believed God, that did what God said to do, and achieved a certain outcome because they trusted God. I love that. There's a common denominator. There's common ground here. I'm not Abraham, neither are you. I'm not Enoch. I'm not Abel. Abel, supposed to Cain. I'm Abel, you know, physically Abel, but anyway, spiritually Abel. But I'm not the man called Abel. I'm not Sarah. I'm not Joseph. I'm not Moses. I'm not any of those people, but I am me. You know what? I am a child of God. And what was it that merited them to be in this Faith Hall of Fame? What was it that got their name in there? It wasn't just because they had a name called Moses, a name called Abraham, a name called Enoch. It's because they believed God. The common ground, common denominator between all these men and women was that they trusted God. They were from different time periods, hundreds of years apart, some thousands of years apart. They weren't just all in the same boat, the same day, in the same place, in the same family. They were spread out chronologically over a long period of time. different occupations, you know, different situations. And yet God had spoken to them, and they chose to believe what God said, and they got the outcome God gave them.
Yes.
It'd be like turning your life over to God and serving God and going to church, as opposed to not going to church, not serving God, not doing what God says. We who come to church trust God. We who give our lives over to Him are operating in our faith. We believe it pays to serve God.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
And so faith does these things for you. It lists several things, really, when it talks about these men and these women of faith here. And in fact, really, the first 12 verses, he talks about things that were accomplished by faith, things that faith will do, benefits of faith. We actually went through the first six verses, got to the sixth verse, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's a real simple two-step plan. Believe God is, and believe God rewards us when we seek him. Amen? Pure and simple. Not 100-step, not 12-step, just 2 steps. You know, first believe God is, and then believe that he will reward you if you seek. It does pay to call on him and to trust him and believe him. That's what faith is. Well, we're going to pray. You never know what happens. Well, no, we need to know what happened. We need to believe when we pray that we're going to receive something. We need to believe when we come to God that he will reward us if we diligently seek him. That's what that sixth verse says. Jesus said it this way, Mark 11:24. He said, whatsoever you desire, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So he's saying the same thing that 6th verse of Hebrews 11 says, that we believe that God will reward us if we diligently seek him.
Amen.
We're not just praying and hoping something happens. We're praying knowing something's going to happen. We believe that. Just like Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Believe you receive them when you pray and you shall have them. Believe you receive them when you pray and you shall have them. Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Everybody say, believing.
Believing.
Same principle that we see there. So we see that prayer causes us to be rewarded. It causes us to receive what we pray for. In fact, really, when you look at those first 6 verses, you find that it puts substance to what you hope for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can hope and hope and hope, but there's no reality, no concrete substance to what you hope for. People hope for all kinds of things. People hope to make it. People hope to be better. People hope to get out of a mess. But faith's not hoping. Faith starts with hope, but it doesn't stop there. Mm-hmm. Faith puts reality and substance to the hope-for thing. How? Because faith finds a promise in the Word and stands on it and puts that on that hope-for thing, and it puts substance to what we hope for. I like that. It makes your dreams come true. That's what faith will do. Faith makes a difference. So faith, you know, it puts substance to what you hope for. It makes your dreams come true. And also, it gives evidence or shows you things that your other senses don't. When you don't feel healed, it shows you healing. When you don't feel victory, it shows you victory. Are you with me? When you don't even feel peace, it shows you peace. It's out there. You can have it. You can get it. Faith will show it to you.
Yes.
It is the evidence of things not seen. Felt, tasted, touched. You could say all those things. And then it says, by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith will always give you a good report. I'd like to have a good report when I leave this earth. One thing we can say about all these men and women in this chapter, they got a good report. When they died, I guess the best thing could be said about you is not that you trusted everybody, or that you trusted this person, you trusted that person. I guess the best thing or epitaph would be, or eulogy would be, here lies a man that trusted God. Wow, that's a pretty good life story. If I can say anything about this man, I know he trusted God. He was a man of God.
Amen.
She was a woman of God. And so that's the epithet that they got, the good report. So faith will always give you a good report. I think that's the best thing to be said about any of us, that we lived our life trusting Jesus, trusting God. So it gives you a good report. Through faith you understand, oh, hallelujah, somebody. I could expound on all that. Of course, we've already preached the first 6 verses, so I'm just running over them real quick. Through faith you understand, it actually makes your sacrifice more excellent, because Abel obtained a more excellent sacrifice by faith than Cain did. What Cain did, he didn't do in faith. You said they both sacrificed, God should have received it. Yeah, one of them did it God's way, one of them did it his way.
That's right.
Faith is not believing anything's okay. Faith is not believing everything's going to be okay without me doing anything. Faith is believing what God says is going to make it okay.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because I think some people have the idea that, well, whatever. You know, I guess God had a plan, God had a purpose, and God did this, and God did that. When God didn't do half that stuff they're talking about. God wasn't behind it. He told them not to do something, and they got a bad result. That wasn't God's fault. That was their fault.
That's right.
Are you with me? I mean, you can't hate and expect good results. You can't live unholy and expect good results. You can't. You in a relationship or in a church or in a job, you know, if you work hard, you get promotions. You get raises. If you don't show up and you don't work, you get fired.
That's right.
And God tells you that. He tells you to work hard, tells you to be dependable, tells you to have integrity. So, you know, you get promotions and God does that. But God didn't fire you off that job because you were lazy and didn't show up. Getting quiet in here, are you with me? So faith is actually yielding your life to what God says, pursuing what God says, and trusting that what God says will bring the right outcome. That's what these men and women did. Abel believed that the right sacrifice was a blood sacrifice because that's what God did when he covered the sins of Adam and Eve. He covered them with skins. And so he believed that whatever he gave, it better have some bloodshed in it because it takes blood to cover sin. So he brought his sacrifice in faith, knowing that's what God liked and what God was pleased with. And his sacrifice was more excellent, and God accepted, and he rejected Cain's. Although Cain sacrificed and did things, he didn't do it God's way. He didn't trust that God knew what he was doing and talking about. So faith makes your sacrifice more excellent. And in Abel's case, he bore witness that he obtained righteousness. So faith will cause you to obtain righteousness. Think about that. Woo! We are righteous by faith, incidentally. Faith caused Enoch to be translated. Faith pleases God. Faith believes that God rewards us when we seek Him. Man, that's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Now the seventh verse. Are you ready? Verse 7, by faith Noah, everybody say by faith.
By faith.
You see that quite a bit in here, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Don't have to be a rocket scientist, get this. If you want to be like one of these people, then just live by faith. Amen?
Yes.
And think about it too now, when we say that, by faith, you got to find out what God says before you can operate in faith, because faith's based on a word. Oh, okay, tomorrow I'm going to live my life by faith. That's great. That's a great desire on your part and a great commitment. That's wonderful. That means that you're going to have to get in the Word and find out what the Word says and go do it. It doesn't mean you're just going to get up and say, I'm just going to trust God today. On the basis of what? I mean, on the basis of a promise. What's the promise you're standing on? Hey, what are you doing? I'm just trusting God. Well, what promise are you standing on? I don't know. I'm just trusting God. I'm just trusting it's going to be okay. What basis are you saying that? Faith is objective, not subjective. Faith has an object of belief. Faith's not based on a feeling or just a desire or want. It's not like, some people like blue, some people like green, some people like banana pudding, and some people don't. I don't understand that. But anyway, faith is not just a like or dislike. Faith has an object of belief. It's objective, and the object of belief ultimately is Jesus. But the object of belief is the Word. Are you with me? So when you say, well, we're just trusting God, you need to be specifically thinking about some promise you're standing on. That's just a generalization. I'm trusting God. For what? That it's going to get better. How do you know that? I just believe God wants it to get better. How do you know He wants it to get better? I think He would probably want me to... What do you base that on? See, even here, if you look through here, God spoke to these people, and they believed what He said. They had something they were standing on, not some generalization about God, but, I mean, a specific word, a promise, something He said. And so that should always be paramount in our thinking. If we're faith people, and we're going to live by faith, people of faith that trust God, then we're people who are standing on something He said. Well, that means we'd have to go study, wouldn't we? We'd have to go find out what He said. What does He say about this? What does He say about it? See, to trust God through sickness, well, you know, I just, you know, I'm not asking God to heal me or anything. I'm just trusting God through the sickness. For what? You're trusting Him for what? Well, I'm just trusting that He'll use this. What scripture says that? Where does it say that? That's the question. See, that always gets me. I hear people say that a lot of times. Sometimes we do it, and we're not really thinking about what we're saying. You're trusting God on the basis of something He promised you. That's what trust is. I trust He meant what He said, that He'll do what He promised. What is the promise that you're trusting? Well, I just believe it'll be all right. Based on what? I know it's redundant, but it's amazing how we are subtly deceived into thinking we're trusting God, and we're not trusting anything.
Yes.
We know what we're trusting. We're just trusting, well, it'll just be okay. Well, what do you mean, be okay? It wasn't okay in the Bible when they didn't trust God for what He said. It was only okay when they trusted what He said.
Amen.
In fact, there are many cases of people did not trust what God said, and it did not turn out okay. And it was something specific they were believing when they had a good outcome. And when they rejected it, they got a bad outcome. These men, these women, believed something God said. By faith, Noah, listen to this. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, or not seen as yet, the King James Version says, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. What did Noah do? Y'all remember Noah? Built an ark, didn't he?
Amen.
Why did he build an ark? Because God said a flood was coming.
Yes.
Isn't that right? And God told him to build the ark. So we think of Noah as a man who trusted God. Yeah, he did. He trusted exactly what God said, and he yielded his life to God's command. He went and built the ark. Wow. Being divinely warned of God of things not seen as yet. And that's what faith deals with anyway. Faith always deals with things that have not been seen yet. Yet. Faith always is standing on something that has not happened yet. But we got God's word on it. God has said so, and that's what we believe. Although it hasn't happened yet, we're believing what God said. And we are yielding our lives to God's word and His promise when it doesn't look like it's doing any good, but God said so, and we're going to keep hammering these nails and we're going to build this ark because that's what God said. And if we keep doing that, we're going to get the benefit of it. Amen? In Noah's case, it saved his household. and it caused him to be an heir of righteousness. Hallelujah. Man, I love that. Heir of the promise. I want to be an heir of the promise, the same promise. Well, the only way I can do that is by faith. I got to trust God. So Noah was a man who got in the Faith Hall of Fame. He was a man who merited this designation by faith. And if you look at his life, he was a man that did what God said. He acted on God's word, God's forewarning or promise. Notice in the eighth verse, became an heir of righteousness. Of course, eighth verse says, "By faith Abraham obeyed." Obeyed. That's interesting because we're talking about faith, trust. Trust not a general. It's just not a wild, you know, gray term. Just trusting God. He obeyed something God said. I love that. You know, when you love because God says to love, you're operating in faith. When you forgive because God says to forgive, you're operating in faith. When you do what's morally and ethically right because God says to do what's morally and ethically, and you're standing on His word, you don't even want to do it, but you're doing it because God says it's right, then that's faith.
Yes.
That's faith. Because you know it's the right thing to do. It's what God says to do. And God knows more than we do. And we trust Him. And you know what? We get blessed for doing that. We get blessed for walking in faith and operating in faith. We keep hammering those nails and building that ark. We're going to be blessed because that's what God says to do. And it may not be raining today, and it may not be raining tomorrow, but the rain's coming. Are you with me? And you may not have some great need in your life right now. It may be just going wonderful for you in your life, and you may not see the need to trust God, the need to get in the Word, the need to, you know, well, I need God. Everything's just going great. Well, it's not going to always go great. There's going to be a time of temptation. There's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a devil that hates you. There's a world that's messed up. And if you live your life long enough, you will get hit. And it is trusting God and standing in faith and doing what God says day by day by day that prepares you for that. Hallelujah, and get you through it. Amen. And thank God, you know, even when we mess up, He's there to help us. If we'll trust Him, if we'll just get back right in faith. By faith, Abraham, 8th verse, obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive, or would afterward receive, King James Version says, which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow. Didn't have all the details, but he had the word go. Had the direction, told him where to go. He didn't know exactly where it was. He just went that direction. God said go, and Abraham obeyed. Abraham was a man who trusted God. What does that mean? That means he did what God said to do. He obeyed God. He went out there when he had never been out there before. He did what he had never done before. Faith will always allow you to do what you've never done before. Always. Faith will take you places you have never been. It will. But faith starts on the command of God or the promise of God or what God has said. In Abraham's case, he obeyed God. Boy, I mean, that's a powerful thing. When you think about a man that obeys God is a man who trusts God. If you trust Him, that means you're going to obey Him. That doesn't mean you're not doing what He said and you're saying, well, I trust God. I'm a faith man. Well, no, a faith person is someone who does what God says. He's obeying what God says. He's stepping out on a promise or a command, and he is trusting that no matter what it looks like and no matter how bad he feels about it, how much he wants to do something else, he trusts that doing this is going to be the right thing and it's going to bring the best result because God said so. Amen? Abraham left his family. Left the land of Ur, the Chaldees, is where he came out of. The Bible tells us in Genesis 12 chapter starts that scenario where God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. His parents were moon worshipers. They worshipped other gods. And God called him out of that. Because he couldn't stay in that. He had to come out of that to be the man of God God wanted him to be. And he had to trust God to do that. And he did. And he left present-day Iraq is where that is, between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers over there, present-day the city of Babylon, which Saddam Hussein started to rebuild. It's in that same area of Ur. Or they've dug it up. They dug the city up. They dug up some of the religious shrines. They call them ziggurats. They found it archaeologically. They've located the city, and it was a city that was centered around the moon worship. They worshiped the moon god and goddess, Nana. Mork and Mindy, you know, is Nanu, Nanu, or something like that. Yeah. But it was something like that. It was a god and goddess, and they built the whole city around that. The town square, the center of the square, was a ziggurat, a religious shrine, and all the businesses were built around it. I mean, that was the town square. The whole city worshiped the moon god. And that's what he came out of. Joshua tells us that he left that land and his fathers worshipped other gods. They've dug those things up and found them. And, you know, but Abraham, man, this is a big deal. He left everything on God's word. God said go, and he left. He left and went out. And it says here he obeyed God by faith. Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, or after receive, King James Version says. And he went out not knowing where he was going. But he went anyway, he went by faith. Wow. Awesome stuff here. By faith he did it. Well, it's just so hard to serve God. Well, by faith you can serve God.
Yes.
Well, I'm having a tough time forgiving. By faith you can forgive. Well, it's just so hard to love. Well, by faith you can love. By faith you obey. Y'all catching this? See, because we often say things like that. Well, that's just so hard. Well, yeah, but you can do it by faith. Yeah, but I don't feel it. Well, of course you don't. That's why you do it by faith.
That's right, yes.
You love by faith. You forgive by faith. You live holy by faith. You stand on God's word by faith. You do the right thing by faith. Yeah. Faith will give you strength to do that. Yes. I love that. It didn't say Abraham by his own strength left his father. It says by faith he obeyed God. It didn't even say Noah by his own power and own strength built that ark. It says by faith Noah, being divinely warned of God in a dream, prepared an ark. By faith they did it. That is great stuff, because you may not be as strong as the next guy. You may not be as smart as the next guy. You may not be as talented as the next person. But by faith, we all got faith. By faith, we can do this. Amen. You may not feel it, that it's possible. You may not feel that it could ever happen, but by faith, it can happen. By faith, he obeyed. How do you do what you do? By faith, that's how we do what we do. We do it by trusting God, stand on His Word. We're not supermen and superwomen. We're just people that believe God and trust Him. And He gives us the strength. If we step out there, He meets us. Woo! Make the step. Amen? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to be to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. I believe King James says he sojourned in the land of promise, in the promised land. And the land of promise is in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, the heirs with him of the same promise. By faith, by faith. Wow. You know, I like that, because when you think about it, here are the promises of God. These are the promises of God. I know how you can set up shop, sit down, sojourn, land, and dwell in these promises with your kids and with your grandkids. I know how you can do it. By faith. By faith, you can live in the promised land. You can live these promises. You can live in these promises. This is a land of promises, like the land of Canaan. It's what God offered. It's what He promised. They went out there and they settled in that land. This is the land of Canaan that God told Abraham about. And Abraham, by faith, went over there and he dwelt in that land. Now, when you run across a scripture that says, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace of mind, stayed on thee," wouldn't you like to live in that land? Wouldn't you like to sit down in the land of peace and dwell in the land of peace? And build your tabernacle there and your tent there and sit down there with your kids and your grandchildren? Well, I know how you can do it. According to this, you do it by faith. Peace, healing, joy. Those are promises. Those are promises that God gives us. That's a land that we could dwell in and live in if we'll believe. But we can only do that. We can only set up shop there. We can only dwell there, sojourn there, as it says, by faith. You stop believing, you all of a sudden you're not in the land of peace anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You get out of faith and you're not in the land of peace. Something has happened. You have slid out of that land. I don't know what happened, but you're not there no more. I've got to get back in there. How do I get back in that land? Well, faith. By faith, you can dwell. You can sit down. You can live in the land of God's promises. But you've got to believe to do that. There's a lot of promises in here that we're not experiencing because we're not believing. But if we start believing, get in faith, we can dwell, we can live there along with our children and our grandchildren. Woo! That's what faith will do. Faith will allow you, give you a reservation, allow you, give you a right to live these promises, to live in them. Okay. So it says here, good stuff, amen? Benefits of faith. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. For he looked, New King James says he waited for the city. A King James says he looked for a city. He looked for a city. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I always love to meditate on that. Faith always looks for something that God builds and makes. Always. Amen. So you say, "Well, my business is not doing too good." Well, you need to, by faith, look for a business that God builds and makes. My life's just not really going all that good. But see, faith doesn't accept that. Faith looks for a life that God builds and makes. Marriage. Faith looks for a marriage that God builds and makes. Faith looks for a church that God builds and make. See, faith doesn't accept what's going on. Well, you know, the church is what it is. It's just a mess. Well, no, faith doesn't accept that. Faith looks for a church that God builds and makes. Well, things are just not going good in my life, and it's just the way it is. No, faith is always looking for something that God builds and makes. And that's always something better, isn't it? So faith never accepts status quo. Faith never accepts what's going on. Faith never just lives in the circumstance. Faith is always looking for something that God builds and makes. And this, my brother and sister, is not God. I'm not accepting this. I'm looking and I'm waiting. I'm looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, on a long-term basis and a short-term basis. When things are not going right in my life, I don't accept them as being from God. I'm looking for what God does, not what the devil does, not what the world does, not what's broken in this world. I'm looking for a fix. I'm looking for a restoration. I'm looking for healing. I'm looking for life. I'm looking for what God builds and makes. That's what faith does. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, there you go. See, you can't, because only faith will do it.
That's right.
Well, that never happens to me. I just don't live that way. Well, see, if you don't believe, you can't get it, because faith doesn't accept what's going on. Faith always looks for what God builds and makes.
Wow. Yeah.
And if you don't get in faith, you won't do that. You won't look for it. You look for a city with hats, foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Wow. So faith always looks for something better. Amen. And he says here, 10th verse, by faith Sarah, herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She was about 90 years old. She was 90 years old. Abraham was 100. 100. East Texas is 100. 100. But he was 100 and she was 90 when Isaac was born. But now think about this. How in the world did that happen?
Amen.
By faith.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get down practical and put down a brass tacks here. Whatever the promise might be. God's word is seed. That's what Jesus said. He says, you know, the seed is the word of God, and the parable of the sower and the seed in Mark 4 chapter. So we know God's word is seed. We know that these promises are seeds. It's like a seed bag.
Amen.
That's what it is. And you look into that and you go, man, I wish I could believe that. Oh, that sounds good. I see what God says there, but that'll never happen in my life. You know, that's not going to happen. That'll never happen. Not in a million years. Not me. No way, Jose. Now, wait a minute. Faith. Now, think about Sarah. Faith, by faith, she received strength to conceive the seed. See, you're not getting this. Because if you get in faith, you can receive this seed. And you can conceive it.
Amen.
You can bring it to fruition. You can see it come to pass.
Yes.
But without faith you can't, because none of us are strong enough to make anything in here happen without faith. But faith gives us strength to receive and conceive the seed of God's Word. You can read it and read it and read it, but one day if you get in faith, you can bring it to pass. You can bring it to fruition. Fruition. See, what happens is God makes a promise, and I receive that promise in my heart. My heart is like ground. And when that seed gets in the ground of my heart, then it begins to grow, and it's produced. But if I never get it in my heart, never receive it into my heart, then it's seed that's dormant, that's never planted, and you can keep seed in a jar, a bag, for hundreds of years, even thousands of years. They found corn back in the Egyptian days. You know, it goes way back thousands of years. Still good. Planted it, and it grew.
Amen.
They found it in jars and pottery jars. It was still good, but never had been used, never had made the connection, never got in the heart.
Yeah.
How do you get this seed in your heart? Real simple. You start believing. How do you get what's on this page? Well, I've said it this way, especially around Christmas time, we talk about this, how that, you know, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. It says of Jesus, you know, that in John 1:14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld His glory. How do you get this promise to become flesh and dwell among us? How do you get a promise of healing to become flesh and dwell among us? How do you behold the glory of a promise that God has given you? Well, in Jesus' case, it's real simple. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us because Mary believed. She said, be it unto me according to your word. That's what she said. When Gabriel came and visited her and told her what was going to happen, she said, be it unto me according to your word. Elizabeth prophesied to her and says, there will be a performance of those things which were told you by the Lord because you believed. There will be a performance of these things that were told you because you believed. Be it unto me according to your word. Faith. That's faith. That's trusting God. That's how the Word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. That's how Jesus Himself came into the world, because God found someone who believed, named Mary, to receive the seed and conceive the seed. And the rest is history, and we're saved because of it. Hallelujah. Well, every promise in God's Word is that way. It has to connect with someone. Someone's got to stop and say, be it unto me according to your Word. And then there will be a performance of those things that were told you by the Lord because you believed. Believing gives you the strength to conceive the seed. And that's what happened to Sarah. So it says, by faith, 11th verse, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. put yourself in there. Think about it. By faith, Michael himself also received strength to conceive the seed of God's Word. Tyrell, by faith, received strength to conceive seed. God's promise, whatever God promised. But you got to make it personal. This is, see, these people are in here for your benefit. They're in here for examples to, for you and I to follow so you can get what they got. I love the details in the Gospels on those stories. It's just amazing. You know, that one with the issue of blood, and you know, it says she'd 12 years and had an issue of blood and been to many physicians, spent all that she had, was none the better, but grew worse. And she heard of Jesus, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she came into the press and grabbed his garment. And the Bible says virtue or power came out of Jesus, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, the multitude throngs you. And the woman, fearing and trembling, fell down before him and told him all that had happened. And Jesus turned to him and says, woman, be at peace or fear not, for your faith has made you whole.
Yes.
Your faith has made you whole. Yes. All those details there. I mean, that's what she told Jesus. That's why we had it recorded, all that I just said about her being 12 years with an issue of blood, been to many physicians, spent all she had, didn't get better, rather grew worse, but she heard Jesus.
Amen.
And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she came in the press and she grabbed his garment. Why are all those details in there? See, that just gets me. What's the point? Why don't I just say Jesus healed a woman with an issue of blood? No, it tells us what she did. It tells us what he said. It tells us what she said. Why? So you can get the same thing.
Yes.
Why all these details? Why all this about faith? Why does he keep talking about faith? Okay, after about two verses, you could say, I get it. But he doesn't stop. He just keeps going. He says, by faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith. Oh, come on. We get it. Move on.
Woo.
Well, no, we don't need to move on. We need to get this. That redundancy, that repetition, going old, driving it in, chiseling it inside of, we have got to believe God. This is what pleases God.
That's right.
Woo! Y'all getting it?
Amen.
How did Sarah do that? How did Abraham? How did Noah? How did Enoch? How did Abel? How did they do this? Well, don't have to be rocket scientists. By faith. By faith. How am I going? By faith. You're going to do it by faith. It says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed and bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, meaning Abraham now, and him as good as dead, 100 years old, were born as many as the stars of the sky and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Woo! By faith, life came into a dead situation. By faith, multiplication took place. Not just one. He was a multiplication like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky.
Amen.
Multiplied. Faith multiplies your potential and your productivity. Faith will multiply. Not just get you on, you know, barely getting by street or just enough street. But faith will take you and move you over to more than enough. More than enough. You know, when God blessed Peter with those fish in the nets broke. The boats were so full they began to sink. Think about it. It was just too much. Too much. It's always too much when God moves. Because He wants you to share. He wants you to help. He wants you to bless others. And get a hold of it. Amen?
Amen.
But But faith's how it happens. So we can see through all this that in that 12th verse, that these are things that faith does. Well, there's a transition here in that 13th verse, and we'll have to pick that up later. But what we see here is faith puts substance to what you hope for. It makes your dreams come true. It shows you what others and other senses don't show you. It causes you to receive a good report through faith you understand. It'll make your sacrifice more excellent. It causes you to obtain righteousness. It caused Enoch to be translated. It pleases God. It brings rewards from God. It'll save your household. It'll cause you to become an heir of righteousness. It will keep you living in the promised land with your children and your grandchildren. It looks for things that God builds and makes. It gives you strength to conceive the seed of God's word, and it will multiply what you have. Let me see that right there. You know, I wrote one day I was, I'm just kind of a word bird. I was just kind of meditating on these verses, these 12 verses, and I began to wax poetic. Not that the muse was upon me, but the Spirit of God was. And I began to write things down. I wrote these 12 verses that we just read, Hebrews 1 through 12, and just rhymed them. Are you ready for this? You better be sitting down. Okay. Then wake up. Faith is now, not soon to be, yet we through faith the future see. Faith makes real a hoped-for thing, though not felt or heard or seen. The elders by it were listed by name, receiving good reports in this faith hall of fame. Through faith the worlds we understand were made by words, by God's command. Without faith came sacrifice was disdained, but with it righteousness Abel obtained. Enoch was taken to heaven, and this is why, for he pleased God by faith and did not die. Faith comes to God and seeks Him diligently and receives reward, for it pleases Him perfectly. Obeying God concerning things that Noah had neither felt or seen, he prepared an ark to float the sea, and through faith he saved his family. Of righteousness he became aware, and of it through faith was made an heir. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, obeyed not knowing where, but not having a doubt, that for an inheritance he would receive this place God offered, for if he only believed. By faith he sojourned in the promised land with his seed Isaac and Jacob all close at hand. For he looked for a city which had a strong base, and God was the builder and maker of this place. The strength to conceive is what Sarah received, because God promised and Sarah believed. Therefore sprang from one, and him as good as dead, so many like the stars, just like God said. Woo! And really, faith is what does all those things. You and I just need to get in faith. We are not left out. That's the good news. I can see this Faith Hall of Fame is still being written today. It includes us as we keep believing and keep trusting and take heed to the words that God said here. I want to be one of these people. How about you? If I want to connect with somebody, I want to connect with God's people. And that means I'm going to have to live by faith.